What's up, world? Welcome to Anime Brothers and Son. Today we got a special episode for you. We're going to go over Fire Force, which you can watch on Netflix. Let me go introduce the crew like we usually do. Our little special guest star right here, this is Gabriel. I'm your man, Chris. Off to the left is Ty Dollar Signs. And then we have the oh-so-smooth Quiet Jam.
Hello, hello.
Playing in your ears for your enjoyment.
Yeah, got some audible butter for your eardrums, girl.
I couldn't have said it any better. So without further ado, we're going to get into the episode. I don't know how long our special guest is going to be blessing us with his presence, but let's do it. Anime Brothers, Andy up.
Alrighty. The first thing I want to say is Fire Force is not quite available on Netflix yet.
Oh, my fault. By the end of this, right now during taping, by the time this goes out, it might be.
Yeah, we're going to hope for that. Yeah. It's a good anime. I liked it. But let's get into quick confessions real quick. We're going to do a Fire Force related confession. You guys got one?
Did you spit on that one?
So... Every time I've ever thought of, like, well, it's not even thought, like, when we play around, me and my siblings, when we play around being superheroes, you know, running the backyard, doing the crazy stuff, I always had the leader power, which was fire. And then, like, my siblings had other powers. But I always control the fire. Not quite like Shinra and Fire Force, but I can control it with my hands because, you know, I'm a boss. And I could also flame on, like, the dude from Fantastic Four, the Human Torch. Actually, everything about me was just fire. I could control it all. Just saying.
Humble brag, huh?
Right? I was going to say, were you playing Captain Planet? Like, yo, what are you doing? let's see. Yeah. So for my confession, I'm positive you guys have heard this before because it happened at Greg's house and everybody knows about it. But it's that time we were over there for like a 4th of July party. Oh, I was over there for a 4th of July party and I was setting off some fireworks. And they were like going like over the power lines into the Boston Harbor. And like, you know, I don't know what happened. One of them didn't make it. And so it like his house is up on like this hill and it landed in like the brush below and like the brush caught fire. When they tell you this story, they always tell you everything was on fire. The brush was probably about the size of my hand. Like, it was about that big. There wasn't a lot of brush that caught fire. But, like, you know, I saw it, like, catch fire. Then I, like, jumped down the hill with, like, the fire hose. Like, try to squirt it with the fire hose, but it didn't work. You know, the backyard garden hose. I'm like, oh. So I'm, like, jumping off. But, like, I used the hose as, like a I don't even know. Like a rope
like
to
pull Tarzan rope.
Down. Yeah, to repel down the cliff or whatever. I go down there, I stomp it out. Some car was driving around like, what's this? What's going on? And I was like, just some kid stomping out a fire in a bush. And I was like, all right. So I climbed back up. Like a half hour later, the police come. And like, oh, yeah. That guy right there was shooting off fireworks. And I was like, oh, my bad. And so like, they're like, we want you to go get the bag of fireworks. And I was like, all right. And I was like, all right, this is going to confiscate the fireworks, whatever. Nah, they came into the house. They went to the kitchen. They put that bag under the water in the kitchen. And they turned it on. I was like, no! But yeah, Greg tells that story. And he goes, man, he caught everything in the backyard on fire. I'm like, dude, you lying. So, yeah, that's my fire-related story. As you all know, I am no stranger to fireworks.
You are quite the pyromaniac, sir.
I haven't bought or used a firework in like 10 years, guys. I'm over my addiction.
All right. I did hear that story.
You did? Sorry. Okay. All right.
My story has to do basically with you, Jameel.
Oh, man.
Yeah. We were over... It was like an early Thursday or something. We went over Corinne's house. You remember Corinne? So anyway, we went over her house with a bunch of other folks. Hey, you brought some fireworks. First off, her house was, she was like, oh, I live close to here. She lived on Bay Road. She lived on the haunted part of Bay Road. We walked all the way down to Bay Road and from Stoughton High, which was like at least an hour walk with a whole group. It was one white girl and a whole group of black dudes. I'm surprised. We had like two other white, we had two white guys with us, I believe.
Yo, I've seen this video.
I was surprised we didn't get stopped at any point. And then you were just randomly like, oh, I got fireworks. And you and I were cool, but we weren't like as tight as we are now, obviously, right? So I was just kind of like, I was like, this dude in fireworks. I was like, all right, whatever he wants to do. And you went, it was you and Berkey. And you went and lit it off or whatever. And the firework went up or it sizzled for a quick second and stopped. And then y'all Negroes start walking towards it. It's a big old firework. Y'all start walking towards it. And all I said was, what if it's not a dud? And y'all stopped and it went boom. I was like, for real, I was like, I wasn't like taking credit for like saving your life or anything like that, but I was like, yo.
Sounds like it.
He's been living life like, that way though. Living life that way.
I have told that story to other people and I have let them know that I stopped you from getting effed up. I'm like, yo, he was going to get effed. I might have to tell Melissa one day. I might have to really embellish it and be like, yo, you see how he has both hands?
You're welcome.
That's just, I saved your life story.
thank you very much. I vaguely remember that day. I kind of don't, but I also remember like not being able to get home that day. So I think I remember that day. But now I'm thinking about it, like, I had to have brought those to school.
Just left it in your bag.
What the hell?
Yes.
Man, the good bad. Old days. You can bring explosives to school and not get in trouble.
That's when they just looked at you and were like, okay, well, just don't light them off in here and we're okay. Yeah.
Make sure you come back with all your fingers, you know.
I like how you put that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're pretty glad that Fire Force doesn't really exist because they probably would have been called on us back in the day, or at least myself, many times. There are many videos of my hands getting very close to fireworks. I'm just going to let you know, I am glad that I have 10 fingers and 10 toes. All right. We will start our topic of fireworks. Oh man.
Got too caught up.
Start our topic of Fire Force. Fire Force is about a dystopian world based in Tokyo. The entire world has been engulfed in essentially flames. People change at random into infernals, which are fiery beings. Everybody has a fire-based ability. Most people have fire-based abilities. Yeah, that's right. I caught myself. We have our hero, Shinra, who 100% is not the kind of hero that I'm used to. He's not the hero I wanted for the show because usually in Shonen, like, you know, you get like a badass, like sword-wielding kind of dude. Actually kind of like Arthur Boyle with his little plasma cutter.
Which is
really cool. But like, you know, you typically get a hero that's more like Waka, the leader of the seven.
Waka Flame.
Well, I mean, maybe he read it and he was like, yo, that's my name, Waka Flocka Flame. Anyways, leave it in the comments if you know the truth. That's typically here you get a dude who's always the strongest, right? Like this dude overcame something and now he's just stupidly powerful. Fire feet, like the devil's footprints, like it's not really that attractive. It's not a sexy, you know, power to have, except for like the flying around being a hero portion. That's cool. I like that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. But, you know, in your typical shonen style, that's not what you get. And this, he's a little bit different, and actually, I kind of like it. It's not the hero I wanted, but it's the hero I needed, you know?
Yeah.
How you feel about him?
Well, what I find interesting about Shinra is he has that tendency whenever he gets, like, nervous or tense that he smiles, but when he smiles, he has a devil-like smile, and everybody hates it. Yeah. Like, yeah. He just looks like the devil. But he's smiling because he can't help it, and it all stems from when Shinra was, like, a child, maybe, like, 6 years old. I don't know. I'm just roughing the age right there. But he was in his house with his mom and his younger brother, and his mom turned into an inferno, and like the whole house got set on fire. When Shinra's mom turned into inferno, she took his brother Shu, and they escaped. But when the fire force at that time showed up, they all thought that Shinra had killed everyone by accident when his powers awakened, because they couldn't find any bones or ashes. So for this kid's entire life, he was called the devil. Didn't help that he smiled like one. and everyone just assumed that he killed his mom and his brother when he really didn't. It was the white clads. A little spoiler.
Yeah, this whole episode is a spoiler. If you haven't watched Fire Force, don't even watch this.
So I should probably tune out.
Just go parent your son real quick, you know.
You hear her in the background and losing his bitch.
Oh man. Not looking forward to that.
Not to spoil too much for everyone, this is just a review of season one, not season two, which is currently out, if you want to watch that. So Shinra, our hero, he joins the Special Fire Force Company 8, where his team is, his captain is Obi, the lieutenant, I'm going to probably butcher his name, is Inoue. Yeah, all right. No response.
Takisa Hinawa.
I mean, that sounds better than what I said. That sounds better than what I said.
Yeah, got you. You got a cool power though.
Yeah. Just to go on him, he is a second gen fire user. So, for everyone that doesn't know, second gen fire users can manipulate fire, but they can't create their own fire. Whereas Shinra is a gen.
Do they do what Jamil's doing right now? Is that how they manipulate their fire? I would no, Jamil, don't so. Stop. I want to keep seeing this as high.
I think that's over. How they do it.
No. So his power, he can change the he can make bullets ricochet, right? Well, bullets will ricochet, but he can use that ricochet to change the trajectory of the bullet to like however he wants it to go. And then plus he can also fire like a regular gun, and he can increase or decrease the power of that bullet.
So he can fire ignition.
Yeah. So he can throttle the power of a bullet, and he can control the ricochets. It's actually really cool to watch it happen. That's why I'm like, I got the bullet and I go, and it starts.
But this is the thing. Does it have to ricochet before he gets control of it? Or if you shoot at him, can I stop the bullet, or do I have to have it miss, and then as soon as it's about to ricochet, I can then manipulate where it goes?
He can shoot as soon as the friction starts, creates a fire of any type. He can control that fire.
Okay.
So essentially, once they shoot it, he can stop it.
So what he can do is like when
it's called Neo.
He can leave the. Oh, Neo! Yeah, from I got you. Yeah, he can slow it down as it's going out of the barrel. So if he gets hit by it, it's not gonna hurt him, like a little pea shooter or whatever. Like that's what he does. All right, yeah. Sorry, yeah. We passed over Captain Obi's power because he don't have none. But he's
that's true.
Strong.
He's just a normal human that works out hardcore. Like
right.
Feel mad left out if everybody else had powers and I was hitting the gym.
Yo, I promise you, he is not left out. He's far from left out. Like, they rely on him hardcore. Mm-hmm. Like, you just watch him plow through people. It's like, oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Ah. Plus, they also have, like, equipment. So, like, it's not like he doesn't have any kind of power. Like, they are firefighters, essentially, right? Even though firefighters actually exist in the universe, they're firefighters, too. And they have, like fire extinguisher grenades and stuff like that. So, they have stuff like that. It exists. He's not that weak. He just can't shoot fire out of his palms like everybody
else. Want to shoot fire. If everybody else gets to shoot fire out of their palms, I would feel some type of way if I can't shoot fire out of my palms.
I feel some type of way right now.
It's like being in Waterworld and not being able to swim. Hashtag confessions. I can't swim.
We'll put that on for another one.
I'm just saying, we could teach you. You want to learn how to duck?
I tried on the 4th of July. Don't get me wrong. I was in a pool.
That was like 16 days ago.
I almost drowned in the pool that my wife's aunt had to like pull me out and ish like that. I tried though.
Wait. How deep was this pool?
10 feet.
Right. What you doing in the deep end?
I was in the shallow end, and I was in that little donut where you like rest or whatever. And then I wanted to play with my son, and I tried to get out, and I flipped out, and I went under the water, I popped up, and then I started to lose my balance, and I started going into the deeper end, and I was like, oh no!
You actually drifted yourself to the deep end.
All right. Yeah.
Nice. Listen, we all ain't proud of the things we do in life, but we try.
Yeah. I'm going to let you know something real quick. A very important, maybe life-saving tip for you when you get close to water. When you're in the deep end, and if you can't like just swim, what you do is you push yourself down, go to the very bottom, and then you can just jump off, and you can bounce up and down. It's very easy to do.
Explode up.
Yeah, you weigh nothing on the water. So like you go to the bottom, bounce off the bottom, and then you can just jump out of the water like a dolphin, essentially.
All right, next time.
Even the shallow
end. Panic when you're not a swimmer, though. When you're not a swimmer and you're sitting there like, oh, hold her.
Yeah. I would tell you, my 5-year-old niece learned how to swim.
Why you got to bring up that age?
She was terrified of the water a month ago. I went swimming over the house this weekend, and she was just like, ah! I'm like, oh, my God. Hold on. Weren't we afraid of her?
I want everybody to watch this video. You can do a timestamp, and you just can watch me die inside as you talk. My 5-year-old niece, just step your game up. Like
all kids learn things better than we do. All kids do. Like y'all are trying to learn Spanish. Yes. I keep laughing.
Talking about Fire Force, right? Yeah, to continue with Fire Force. Other people on the team, there's Iris, who is the sister, sister.
Yeah.
And she does a prayer before they extinguish the inferno. And then we got Mackie, who's actually sick. So she's a second gen where she can manipulate fire, but she also was in the military. So she's also like crazy strong and battle ready. So I like her and her fight scenes.
Yeah. I like her witch hat. She got the little hat.
Oh, she does have the witch hat.
Yeah.
And then to go who Jamil likes, there's Arthur, who is the Night King.
And he's a clown.
He's actually really dumb, but he's awesome because he wields the Excalibur, which he instead of his being fire, his is plasma. And
his fire is just so hot that he makes plasma, which helps him manipulate that as well as manipulate electricity. Yeah.
And he actually gets stronger the more he believes that he's a knight. So like there was one scene where Vulcan, who's also on the team, and I'll go over him next, where he gave him the head of a horse and he put it around his waist to make it seem like he was riding a horse as the knight. And like the kid's power just increased tenfold. But it was just hilarious because that kid's imagination is wild.
How old is he?
Same,
Gotta he's like supposed to be 17. They're all supposed to be 17 years old. They graduated academy together.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying this in like a negative tone or anything like that, but he like in the series, he a little special.
Yeah, he's kind of
special enough. He's special enough. Yeah, he's not all there. He has no practical sense, but his battle like sense is like really high. Mm-hmm. He's really good at fighting things. He invents these swords, the little swords too, and he uses them.
Oh, like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that
he's just not.
Yeah.
No. Maybe. Does he?
I don't like not in the real sense.
Can he enter? Does he interact with the other yes. characters as well?
Oh yeah, yeah. No, he's dumb smart dumb.
Yeah, yeah. He's not book smart. Yeah, he's just a
idiot savant.
Dumb individual. Yeah, yeah. There you go. We'll give you that. He's a Goku. How about that?
Oh yeah, yeah. That's his knowledge game right there. Just good fighter. Not.
Yeah. The one thing I wish he could do. I wish his sword was more like the Master Sword, and he can like shoot a beam off of it. Like I've seen that he can make it extend a little bit. But like, I really wish that he could just like fire a beam off of it. Like that would be the perfect scenario. But you know, that would be if he was like the main hero. So he ain't.
Well, he has to feel like he's a knight. So like, what if you legit get like a queen like figure that knights him? All of a sudden, his power would go through the roof, right?
Yep.
And then maybe that beam sword comes into your fantasies.
Good. I mean, they might write it in.
He's like that hot, long beam sword. And when he gets excited enough, it shoots off.
Special beam sauce? Like, what do you want here? hit it with Vulcan.
listen. Vulcan. Dash is in here, and I have not seen this show, so my whole thing is comedic relief. I'm coming with everything I got today.
Yep.
Don't sound so thirsty. No.
And my son's going to help.
Yeah. So Vulcan is another person who has no powers. He's just a mechanic. to go into Vulcan just a little bit, he originally was not part of the SFF. I'm just going to shorten Special Fire Force to SFF. But he wasn't originally part of it. He just like, he was living on his own with this girl named Lisa, and there was a third person, but I can't. You?
You was the kid.
You was the kid. All right. So that's who it was. You. You or yo. And, Shinra and Arthur go to recruit him. And like during that time, they get attacked by Dr. Giovanni, who was the SSF captain, SSF3 captain, who you find out is bad, and he's working for the I don't even know how to pronounce this, so I might butcher this. Evangelist.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Evangelist. Yeah.
Evangelist killed it. Word.
he's making it through it, guys. He's pronouncing things today.
That was a gold star moment.
Yeah.
Got it. There you go. He's drawing a star in the air for anyone who can't see. Get it.
So
get
it. During that battle, Vulcan finds out Lisa is also evil, but he can't truly accept it, but she is evil. And then she's a double agent. She betrays him. He's all like hurt and stuff. And that's partly why he agrees to go to SFF8. That's Vulcan. And then you have Licht. Is that Licht? Licht.
Yeah. Licht. Blah.
Who's their scientist. And you learn that he and this other character named Joker are manipulating. They're not evil. They're also not good.
Yeah, they have no allegiance. It's a little strange.
That's perfect.
They really don't have like a purpose yet that we know of.
Yeah.
I like Joker's character because Joker kind of reminds me a little bit of Gambit.
Because of the cards?
Yeah, when he first comes out, he starts throwing these little cards around and I was like, "Oh, that's my dude from X-Men who never got it." He, like Gambit never got like the right, he never got the right like fit. I feel like they never gave him enough screen time. So I'm like so stoked to see somebody with that kind of ability like in this show. Plus he also has that like smoke magic that we don't really get to see. So that was cool.
Does he steal the show every single time he's on? Like, cause that, that's what Gambit's whole thing was.
He kind of does. He enters the scene and it's literally just him and like usually Shinra, who's the main character. And Joker is just unbelievably strong. You do find out that he trained with the First. That's actually a manga related spoiler. Sorry.
Yep. I was going to say, you hit them a little early with that, but it's all right.
That's cool. But, so he's super strong, so I think he wants to take him down.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
One good fight scene with Joker was against Shu, even though it lasted only like, I don't know, 10 seconds. It was just sick because Shu's demonstration of his fight was like, he has the ability to... I don't know if it's freeze time, but he's moving so fast that everyone else freezes around him.
So, yeah, the way they expend Shu, by the way, Shu is Shinra's little brother who he believed to be lost for like 12 or 14 years and find that he's part of the evangelists. Oh my goodness, I can't speak.
There you go.
I'm tired now.
Evangelists.
The evangelists. You find out he's part of the evangelists and not like, not just part of them. He's like a high ranking one. And he's like stupidly strong, but the way they explain his power is like he expands the universe around him with heat, and so like because he expands the universe and contracts it or whatever, it appears that time stands still. So he does like a sort of time dilation. So he's actually moving at like, I mean, I'm sure he moves fast, but like they go like super scientific on it, and they're like, okay, well he's actually moving at normal speed, but because he like makes everything around him so hot. He actually looks like, to the normal eye, that he's not like everything happens in a blink of an eye, which is, it's become stupidly overpowered, especially when Shinra gets the same ability. It's like, oh,
yes,
come on.
Yeah.
That's something I hope gets nerfed because like in seeing that, like there's no fight that can actually occur that he can't win. That's too strong. Like you can't just stop time and defeat people. That's not a superhero power that you get for the main protagonist.
How did he get the power? Like how did he acquire it? How did he learn it?
As he was getting his ass beat, he figured it out.
Oh, Shenron. Yeah. But my thing is like, it's not even an overpowered move only because the people that are strong enough, they all can do it. So it's an overpowered move in the beginning of the season because we didn't know that people could do that. But the stronger you are, the more you're likely that you have the ability, like Jamil said, to heat up the area and make yourself move faster.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I didn't go too deep into the manga, so I didn't know everyone was going to do it.
Yeah.
All right, good. That's how they level the playing field. I'm actually glad about that because like if you don't level the playing field, like if you can move at a blink of an eye, and nobody else can, then game's already over. Like this ain't fair.
Exactly. Right,
yeah, the way Shinra develops his power, they find out that certain movements and touches on your body and stuff like that activate your I don't know, chakra or chi or whatever to move a little bit differently.
Chakra points.
They do chakra points. Okay, sorry, I didn't go back over that part. So they do chakra points. So he finds out that doing a certain movement with his fingers, he's doing the Naruto signs, moving his fingers in just the right way, holding them actually increases the flow of chakra to his feet, and his fire comes from his feet. So like he like has regular fire if he's like not doing anything, and then he holds his fingers the right way. And all of a sudden, he's got like jets. If he like really presses it down, he goes shoo, and
he goes real
becomes
fast.
Super stupidly fast. Although, do you remember the end of the season? Do you remember at the end of the season? Okay, how he's moving so fast that he destroys his own body, but because he's moving so fast, he also travels backwards in time, and
to regenerate his body.
Yeah, and he doesn't actually die. That was the explanation of the fight. And I said, WTF.
I feel like I feel like other comics have explained that every single thing that you guys have, I feel like it's Fire Force seems like it's the best of certain episodes of different comics or certain aspects of this different comics. Like, okay, so I'm going so fast that I basically destroy my body. My body goes out of existence. Mm-hmm. But I go through time and then my body like reconstructs or whatever. That's basically, that's the speed
force. The Flash.
Yeah.
Like,
it really is. You're but his right. The Flash is lightning, and they're like, yeah, we'll just make it fire and call it a day.
Yeah, that's it. And then you talked about you have a Gambit that's on the show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My question is, who's Gambit's love interest?
There's no love interest.
No one.
No. So not Gambit. French. So Gambit couldn't touch his love interest. So Gambit might as well have not had a love interest because he couldn't even touch her.
Yep.
And now this Fire Force guy, he's just foregoing the whole thing, and he's just like, I'm cool as hell, but I can't. Instead of having someone I can't touch and having all that headache, I just won't have anybody in the first place.
Yeah, you never know. Well, so like they haven't really like gotten really deep into his character. He's supposed to be mysterious at this point in time. But you know, if he was on the Fire Force at one point, I kind of feel like he got off at some point. Like, so maybe it was a. You know, he couldn't be around somebody, or like maybe there was a love interest.
Like, double the conjure on that, huh?
So, yeah. Spoiler alert on Joker. he did grow up, but he grew up. So, you know, the White Clads, they have like their secret organization. He was actually like a part of that, sort of.
Oh, okay. The Illuminati got you.
Yep. So. And he was trained under the church, like legit underground under the church. That's where they all trained. And he had like, you know, since he was young, he learned all the stuff there. So he thought it was the right way, but then he found out that it was not the right way. But, you know, he got confused. It's not that he got confused. He just didn't believe in the White Clads or the Fire Force. So he was kind of just like where he is now, where he's just like, I'm the neutral dude and neither side is right. And I'll just try and make everything right myself.
Yeah. You know the secret of his eye patch?
No.
All right, never mind.
I'm actually interested. What's the secret of his eye patch, if you don't mind? Sorry, if you don't mind that spoiler.
Spoiler alert.
This is actually, I guess, a big spoiler. Him and what is the captain's name of the first?
Captain Burns. That's right. Yes. I actually did read that.
Okay, yeah, him and Captain Burns are linked together by an Adela link, the Adela burst.
Yeah. And it's in his eye patch?
I haven't actually read or seen the portion of the manga or the anime that like explains that. All I know is that these two are linked. It happened like with their eyes, and so that they both keep their eyes covered. I guess maybe they can see what the other one's doing. So... They're linked together in a fashion like that. It's actually really interesting. I was like, he has an eye patch, and I was like, he has an eye patch, but I never thought about it.
The way you're explaining it, it's not a direct rip from it, but that sounds like Evil Morty from Rick and Morty. I'm dead ass. It seems like they've taken all the coolest like storylines and whatnot, and they're like, oh, Evil Morty, he had an eye patch and he controlled Evil Rick. So,
well, one of the creators of the show, after like watching the show for a little while, I was like, yo, this looks really familiar to something I've already seen. And the thing I saw that looks just like this is Soul Eater. Soul Eater has one of the same creators as Fire Force. His name is Atsushi Okubo. The faces and all the drawing stuff like that, he does. So the characters have a little bit of a similar look to him. And actually, one of his characters from Soul Eater actually makes an appearance in Fire Force at one point. We haven't gotten there yet, but in the manga, they do a crossover episode where Maka, who's the leader, she is the main character from Soul Eater, essentially, makes an appearance and joins the Fire Force for like an episode. It was like, oh snap! So this dude is the guy who makes out like the character models and like draws the faces, and I don't know, but We will have to talk about the animation when we're all done with the characters. Which character group are you on now? We got on like a massive tangent. Sorry.
No, I think we're pretty much, I've named all the people from SFF Company 8. To keep going with Captain Burns, though, who's the SFF1 captain, his team
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh.
I was going to say Squad 1. I'm like, Squad 1.
Yeah. All right. Squad 1, they have, so his team is actually, they have a double agent on that team as well, Lieutenant Rika.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go with that. Lieutenant Rika, who is actually going around causing humans to combust, which turns them into infernals. So what he's doing is basically he has this little beetle thing that he like goes up to people and he's just letting it, the beetle go into them, which forces them to what they call a human combustion, which turns them into infernals. And the reason why he's doing this is because he's trying to find someone who's compatible with the Adula burst.
Yeah.
So like, he was
accept the flame. We want you to accept the flame. I'm looking for the pure flame. They want the Adula burst because it's supposed to be the pure unsullied flame. That's running. That's like, you know, the Amaterasu, the main flame and the big energy building. Yeah. So
The like thermal energy plant. So he originally was doing it with adults, but then he started doing it to children, figuring that the younger they are, the more likely they'll have the Adula burst. So he had tricked, what's it, Tamaki?
Yeah, that's her.
Yeah. She was a rookie, just like Shinro, but she has the, she has the...
oh, man. Yep.
The Lucky Leecher lore. So basically the
Lucky Letcher lore.
Letcher lore.
Yeah, Letcher.
So basically she will randomly just strip in the show. No reason whatsoever. She'll trip.
Not on purpose.
She'll trip, her clothes will fall off. She'll trip. She'll walk into someone and somehow their hand ends up inside of her bra. So like they're just
It's like, what just happened? It's like, we were just cooking dinner. Why are you naked? I don't know.
And then she has the nerve to call everyone else a pervert.
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing? It's like, she even acknowledges it herself. Like, oh no, my Letcher curse. But like, so in that fight with Rekka, oh man, like that episode is one of the episodes I watched for this. Dude, watching her get beat up, that was actually really rough. Like, just for, like, a person who's not real, that hurt to watch. Like,
you felt something.
Yeah, like, this dude is, like, massively stronger than her. He doesn't use special powers to beat her up. He uses his fist. She doesn't fight back. And she's literally just getting beat on for, like, it felt like 10 minutes. Like, it was just like the most one-sided fight. It wasn't a fight. I'm putting air quotes up. It was just a beating. And it's like at the very end of the episode, Shinra shows up because she finally uses her power to like signal somebody. She's like, somebody help me. And it's like, you kind of feel that end of the episode.
I got goosebumps.
Yeah, dude. End of the episode, Shinra shows up, like hits this dude in the face one time. And like, he goes like, Tamaki, are you okay? And like, they focus on her face for like a good 10 seconds. It's all effed up. And like pouring tears, and she goes and she just shakes her head like, no, I am not okay. And he goes, all right, well, we're gonna do this. And it's quiet. It is like, it's a quiet scene, and it was like chilling. I was like, geez, all right, that was well written. I don't know. So that was a massively one-sided ass woman.
Man, that's like a full embodiment of domestic violence. Like, she took that beating for no reason. Like,
yeah, well, she had a crush on this dude, and so she was just like kind of blindly following what he would do. And so he's like, essentially, as he's beating her up, he goes, you were supposed to take the fall for this. Like, that's why I left you alive. Like, what are you doing? Like, don't mess it up for me. What are you gonna do? You're gonna mess this up. I'm just trying to like get these kids And like, so the reason like she started like standing up and fighting him, like he took one of the little bugs, turned like the mother of one of the kids into like an inferno. Oh, yeah.
And then he wasted her.
Yeah, immediately, because he saw her turn, he goes, he has a fire fist. So he uses fists.
The stars.
His fire power to increase his like ability for fists, like to make it like a rocket punch, essentially, right? He just takes her and goes, bow, right through her face. It's like game over. And then all the kids start crying. And then she goes like, yo, what am I seeing? Because at that point he was supposed to have knocked her out. And he goes, well, you weren't supposed to see that. You were supposed to wait outside, but you didn't want to wait outside. So now you're here and you're supposed to take the fall for this, but now you're awake. So what am I supposed to do with you? And he just beats her ass. It's like, oh my God. And like, yeah, the kids are like, they're crying. This one kid, he actually puts the bug in and he never actually makes an appearance again, but he actually doesn't turn. His name is Ty, I think. T-A-I.
And he actually, spoiler, he actually does return.
Thank you.
Not in this season, but he does make a return.
Okay, no, good.
And they explain what happened to him.
All right, good. All right.
He became one of the hosts on Anime Brothers, and he was like, all of a sudden, he's like, ever since I was a little kid, I had these fire powers. I was always the leader, and I had the power of fire. Starts to connect and whatnot. We do a little montage, everything.
Yeah. No, I'm actually really glad to hear that, because I was like, okay, we're not just going to give this kid powers and then walk away from him, are we? Mm-mm. Are we? Okay. Rekka is a really good place to start talking about like the eyes, like the whole pupil thing, the iris thing, because he had the star ones. We haven't talked about Princess Hanaba. She has the flower eyes though. Hinaba. Yeah, she's the Hinaba. Captain of the fifth squad five.
Yeah.
her power. She has actually two powers. One is to make essentially fire flowers, and then they burn people on contact. So like she'll make a sakura, aka cherry blossom, and like it'll be like this big beautiful cherry blossom, and then it'll start dropping its petals, and then the petals are like burn your skin on contact. It's like, oh shoot, what am I doing? So that's one of her powers. The other one is kind of like a genjutsu from Naruto. I realized when I was watching it, because she'd look at people and then they get all loopy and fall down, and she essentially makes like their capillaries and stuff like that expand inside their body. So you just look at you and just like expand your capillaries, and so like you get dizzy and you just fall over. But she's also a little bit of a S&M queen over there, like yes. Like she wears high heels and just walks over dudes, literally. She had a plank of dudes and she was just walking over. I was like, yo, who is this?
She made a seat of dudes, like where the dudes bend over and you see the back, and then two dudes create her armrest, so she puts her arms on the two. She is crazy.
Right. At the point in the anime when we got introduced to Hanabi, I actually thought this was going to end up being like a harem series. I'm like, yo, hold on a second. Because at that point, hold up, let's see, we had Sister Iris who liked him. We had Hanabi who liked him. We had Tamaki who liked him. We had Maki who liked him.
Did Maki like him? Because I thought she liked Arthur.
Because then she switched, because he called her like a ogre or whatever. But he did too. And so he goes, why are you so strong? Like, why are you like an ogre, right? And so he switched a little bit.
Yo, my favorite thing is like every time they say ogre, she's like, what do you call me a one-eyed gorilla for?
Yeah, yeah. She always switches. But then they like pan back to her face and she looks like a gorilla, like
yep.
Oh man. I'm really, really, really glad they decided to be like, no, there is no love interest. Eventually, I'm guessing, because Iris has no other purpose in the show, she will be a love interest. But I'm very glad that they were like, nah, we're not gonna make everyone fawn over him. Although the captain of the fifth, like, she kind of stalks him a little bit.
She falls in love with him, bro.
Yeah, no, I mean, she does.
Right after their fight scene, when he punched, after he punched her, and she, like, you know, they're like holding her, like, you know, making sure she's okay. If you notice her eyes from the cross, they turn to
Yeah, I remember that.
That's how I knew she was locked in. I was like, well, that's it. She's hooked for life.
Shinra, man, pull him down. Yeah. It was crazy. Exactly. Oh, man. Did you also notice, so, like, their eyes, like, do the whole, like, they have the crazy eyes thing. Did you also notice, like, when their powers activate, their eyes start glowing? Like, even right before they activate their powers, just so you, it's kind of like a weird context clue they give you. Like, the eyes will start glowing in the anime. And the manga, I don't really know because...
You couldn't see that.
I'm guessing they're always glowing. But it's like, you know, someone's, like, going to use their powers really subtly. And, like, they don't really want to give you, like, the hint that they're about to use them. They actually, like, just make the eyes glow real quick. And it's like, oh, shoot. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, it's weird, though, because not everyone's eyes do that. It's only, particular people, their eyes will glow right before they activate their power.
Yeah. Oh, and some of them also change. Like, if you have multiple abilities, the eye color will change.
Yep.
Yeah, it's cool. Well, we skipped to the fifth, but are we done with the seventh? Who else is in the seventh? Nobody, right?
Wait.
Oh, no, We didn't do the seventh.
Did you talk about Benny?
No, we haven't talked about Benny. Benny is awesome. Benny's my dude. You want Benny. All right, get Benny.
Let me get Benny. All right, so... What makes Benny so cool is he's the captain of the Seventh. And the Seventh, they don't care at all about Fire Force. They're all about their town and their town only. Like, if there's a inferno that's happening legit outside of their town, they'll look at it and be like, oh, well, until it steps foot into their town. They don't care. They don't wear the Fire Force suits or anything like that. They don't even go to meetings except for that one meeting that he was forced to go to that he's walked out in the first 5 minutes.
He went to the meeting just to yell at people and walk out. Like, he didn't even attend the meeting. Like, yo, wait a minute. He goes, yeah, y'all do this. So I found out their outfits, their entire district, the District 7 is essentially also, all right, I'm gonna tangent back to that too. The District 7 is based on Edo, Japan. And so, like, the fire, like, they have those, like, almost mop-looking things. They have a name. I just don't remember what the name is. But those are things they use to mark where things were on fire. So the things that he uses to fly on, they take them and throw them in the air, those are actually, like, they actually have, like, a historical significance. And, like, the whole district. And they actually did a lot of, like, really subtle little hints at, like, old Japan. And so District 8 is supposed to be the most modern one. 7 is like the throwback one. There's another one that's sort of like a midway Japan. And then other districts have like a company or like a church involvement. Well, yeah.
The first is run by the church.
Yeah, and so their district looks like, you know, almost cathedral-like, essentially. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Sorry. Back to the Seventh. Go for it.
The thing that I personally think makes the Seventh great is that he is the mightiest firefighter there is. Like, no one can even, like, compare to him. He's just that strong.
Yeah, he is like, the only second and third generation at the same time kind of person.
That's true. Yeah. And he has the crazy eyes too.
X and O.
Yes, that's it. That's what he's changed to. Dude, it's so sick. Yeah. There was a scene where Squad 8 goes to Squad 7's town, and then the white clads show up, and one of the white clads injects himself with a beetle that turns himself into Inferno. That's when Benny gets into a fight with him. Final move that Benny does is, like, he powers up and, like, he just punches him, and legit you can see, like, all the fire just come from the other side of the now Inferno white clad, and he just disintegrates. It was so sick.
Game over.
Mm-hmm.
I love how, like, when they first got there, he was just, like, breaking everything up, and, like, Shimmer's like, yo, why are you destroying your district for? And he's like, what about it? And then the people over there, like, they don't really care. They like the fact that, like, they're safe. They value people over items and objects and buildings and stuff like that. They don't care at all. They let them destroy it, and then they're happy to go to work fixing it. because it also keeps them employed and all that stuff. I was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting way to put it. Another nod to other things. Yeah. It's a cool cycle. Another nod to another show though. Apparently all the districts are somewhat reminiscent of the Soul Society.
Really?
Yeah, I know.
Interesting.
I don't think it's on purpose, but mm-hmm. I think like as the show kind of continued, they were like, yo, this is like, you got this squad captain and then you got like his own district and then you got like the whole squad. Like I was like, oh snap, it is kind of like the Soul Society.
Oh, I see that in that setup. Yeah, definitely is.
Yeah.
All right. You're right.
Yeah, that was cool. The other noteworthy person in the seventh is the second in command over there. And the only reason he's noteworthy is the fact that they finally like have a cap on their powers. Like it's what's his name? I want to call him Conroe. It's Conroe. Sagamiya Conroe. He's the previous captain. Mm. And he has what they call Tephrosis. That's when you overuse your firepower and you end up turning into ashes. So like you can overuse it. They set that precedent. I'm so glad that they set the precedent because like, let's be honest, you're going to be throwing fireballs all the time. Like, what are you going to do? Like nothing's going to stop me from throwing fire.
Yep.
But he overused his fire ability to save the town or whatever, to save Waka, AKA the current captain of the seventh. To save him from a demon inferno, kind of threw himself in the way and then used his ability and way overused it. And so then he had to step down.
So to capitalize on that, you actually learn about that with Shenra and Rika's battle where Shenra says, I'm overheating.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, whoa, don't do that. Don't stop. You can't use your power anymore. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Real quick.
Yeah.
Real quick. Does overheating have to do with your like natural limit, or does everybody have kind of like a set limit?
It's a natural limit based on how much oxygen you have in your body. Mm-hmm. So as they're fighting, they're like, he's like, oh man, I feel like my power is getting low. They're like, oh, you used up all the oxygen in your body. Oh, that must be because that's the source of your power. Like, don't use too much then. So it's like, okay, like. If I was really gonna be like really picky about this, the amount of fire that he shoots out, like the oxygen in your body would be depleted in like one burst. Let's be honest, like gone.
That's true.
It's an arbitrary limit that they're setting, but they're setting a limit. So I like limits. Like
you can't be a god.
Yeah, exactly. Basically. You can't be a god. And then they have a limit. So that means at some point, someone's gonna find a way to break it. And I can't wait.
It's gonna be that little kid.
Yeah, well, it's like Guy, you know, Guy from Dragon Ball Z when like he goes to the final eighth gate, and then like he uses it and he starts disintegrating. It's like, oh, there you go. That's what happens when you go through the eighth gate. That's the death gate. You're supposed to die.
You said Guy from Naruto, not DBZ.
I think I said DBZ.
You did.
From Naruto. Yeah, my bad. Yeah, there's a lot of guys in DBZ.
that was funny. The fight in the nether.
Oh, and then yeah. Maki, that's when she gets a good fight.
Oh man, she has a great fight. So I'll start off with that one. So they all get separated in the nether. Squad 8 goes in another to fight the White Clads and Evan, oh my goodness, Evangelist.
Yes, you did it. Yatta!
The reason why this is even like taboo is just the Holy Soul Temple has designated the Nether as off limits.
Yeah, so it's like old Tokyo. It's built underneath everything. That's why.
So Squad 8 ventures into the nether to find the bad guys, and they get separated, and Maki ends up by herself, and she ends up facing like a bunch of these white clads, and at first she acts all scared and stuff, mainly because she's afraid of the dark and she thought the white clads, because they were in the white cloaks, were ghosts. So she's like, oh my God. So she's like, oh my goodness, ghosts. And then they start speaking. She's like, oh, thank goodness you're not ghosts. And they're like, what are you talking about? Why are you scared of us anyways? And he's like, nah, I'm cool. And they're like, all right, let's fight. She just takes out the whole squad easy, leaving just the captain of that squad at the time. And he's all beefed up, and he has this fire, like, ball connected to her chain with spikes on it. And he's like, I'm so great, I'm so powerful. And he starts swinging around, hitting her and stuff. And she gets hit by it, but she's like, because she's a second gen, she can get, she can control fire. I mean,
yeah, she can manipulate and other, fire. She can manipulate other people's fire, which is important. Right. Yeah.
So she catches his. And, like, you know, she's able to protect herself. But what was probably the funniest part of that fight scene was when she goes in close and she starts punching him and stuff and, like, hitting him and everything, and he gets back up. He's like, I don't even care how strong you are. You're not taking me down. And then she was like, you call me a one-eyed gorilla? Because she always thinks everyone's calling her a one-eyed gorilla. She comes down and she just power punches him down like this. Dude, without code.
Does that heifer only have one eye?
No.
No, she has two eyes.
Dos.
I don't know why, but that's her like running gimmick is everyone calling her a one-eyed gorilla. There must be a backstory about that.
There's gotta be a backstory. You one-eyed gorilla, big. Up now, I owe you a dollar.
Yeah.
Hey y'all, I gotta peace out. My son's running wild and everything. I can't do the exit, but. You guys keep me updated on this. This is actually pretty it's pretty interesting. I want to go see Fire Force, and I don't want any more spoilers, so this might actually be a blessing in disguise.
There you go.
So there was a battle between the lieutenant, who I can't pronounce his name, Hinawa.
Yep.
And the White Clad's arrow, which is actually a pretty sweet battle.
What is it, the sniper fight?
Yes, the sniper fight.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. But oh, and then like he's trying to like run away and like he's like trying to bounce it, but he can't. Okay. Yeah.
So no. That fight was.
That's a last year. That's a last year memory for me. I'm sorry.
Got you. I'm gonna skip the in between and just go right to the climax of that battle. In the last part of that battle, Arrow hits the lieutenant. But hits him in the left-hand shoulder, but it hits the eight. So, I mean, obviously it grazes his shoulder too, but it hits the eight and it tears the eight off on his uniform, on his left arm. So he still has enough energy to fire off his last bullet, which breaks his gun because all the force from the ignition from the shot fire into it, and it breaks the gun. And then once it gets close to the arrow, that arrow shoots. It's weird to say it like that. But when the arrow and the bullet get close, he manipulates the fire from the arrow to boost the trajectory of the bullet and speed, I should say, and velocity, and destroying the person named Arrow.
Yeah. Arrow was interesting because... like depending on the direction of his arrows, his eyes moved in the direction. It was actually really cool. I was like, wait a minute, did I just see that right? Yeah, that was a cool thing. Did this battle happen in another? I'm trying to think of it because Captain Obi and Captain Obi had to like basically take the hit, like to end the fight, he had to take the hit from like an axe essentially, and just get boom. And he didn't actually get damaged, but he was like, yo, I'm taking. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, it was Captain Obi and Vulcan versus Dr. Giovanni and Lisa.
Yes. When Lisa was like, no, I don't really love you. Please stop following me. And then, that was...
Oh, yeah, man, she was lying to herself. She still loved him.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for her to be like a double-double, triple-double agent. After all that, she was so conflicted. All right, she was just so conflicted about like, no, I don't don't love you. I never loved you. All those memories that we share together. Like, remember this guy picked me up off the street when I was like crying and I was trash and this and that. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, but he taught you happiness and all this other stuff. So like, I don't know. It and like after that, I really thought her and I thought the child. I thought they were actually going to be goners. Like, I legitimately before in the scenes before this, I actually thought they were both not gonna be like Fire Force. I thought they were gonna be expendable characters just for Vulcan to make it on the team. But everyone makes it. So hey, there's that. Yeah. Happy family.
You know, you gotta save some people. You can't kill everyone.
They really don't kill anyone, actually. Oh well, Giovanni.
I mean the people turn, and I mean,
yeah,
Lieutenant Rico got killed.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, some of the White Clads get killed.
Yeah, yeah. Wrecker didn't kill him though. They were gonna interrogate him. He was frozen in ice, and they're like, "Man, what are you doing? Don't fight it. The more you fight it, the more I'll freeze you." And it's like, "No, man." So you get frozen in ice. I'm like, "All right, well, we'll take him back to headquarters. Don't worry about it." And then he gets iced.
Oh, don't worry.
Oh, by accidente. Let's see. What happens at the end of this season? Oh, he fights. Fights Sho. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this fight with Sho and Shinra, like, I understand developing your power. I understand kind of like seeing what happens with it. I don't understand developing a power that strong in the middle of a fight. Like, especially not one where you're just getting your ass handed to you. Like, he threw him around that room like a rag doll. He threw him around that room like Rekka threw Tamari or Tamaki around the room. Like, if I had to compare him, but Shinra just had some more, like, he had some more drive, essentially. Mm-hmm. And then, what's his name? Victor is in the room over there, like, evaluating the fight. And he can't even evaluate the fight because he can't see it.
Yeah.
But he's like, what just happened? I think he literally, like, from a viewer standpoint, I think he's literally just there to kind of explain it to us.
No, that's definitely his purpose.
Yeah.
I mean, other than, you know, what he's working on. But, like, yeah, he explains almost everything that we need broken down, especially, just to backtrack, when Shinra and Arthur were being trained by Benny, he makes that intro of, like, I think Shinra's power can be increased by doing this and that and this. And then Benny's like, oh, okay.
It's not like he doesn't know. He knows that can work. It's just like, just like, this is a suggestion I'm making to you. Take this science. Oh, man.
I guess just finishing up the battle between Shinra and
Sho. Yeah.
Sho.
Sho.
Obviously that was one-sided battle while Shinra was powering up, leveling up. But, just getting stabbed at the end like that, that's rough.
Yeah. And then
right after go ahead.
I was going to say, and then teleporting, like, midway teleporting to, like, the evangelist realm or whatever, I don't even know what they call it.
Adula. Isn't that what they call it?
Well,
because they have the Adula Burst, and then...
Oh, is that...
I think it's called Adula.
We'll have to fact check that later.
It's like hell, though. It's basically like hell.
Yeah, it's like, okay, so we end up in this thing. So, like, not to nitpick, but like, okay, so their power is supposed to slow down the universe. How are they teleporting? True. So I'm like, okay, wait. He goes, wait, you don't see that realm when you go through there? It's like, what are you talking about? And it's like, they end up in this different realm, and it's like, this person sitting on the throne, who is probably the most, the epic evangelist that you're supposed to kill or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, okay, fine. We see the enemy. Great. Glad we see it. But it doesn't work for me. I don't know. The whole teleportation. Like, right after you explain it, you can't change the rules. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But you can finish the fight. Sorry. I just had to throw it out there. I'm like, come on, man.
I hate you. at the end of it, he actually, Shinra, he convinces Sho, Sho knew they were brothers, but he actually convinces him to, like, you know, leave with him. And, like, he gets, he's about to go, too. And then, I forgot the chick's name, the one that has a crown that covers her eyes.
Oh, I don't have her name. I know who you're talking about, though.
Yeah. Well, he tells her off, and, like, you know, he's like, leave me alone, let me go. And then she zaps him with her electricity ability.
Yeah.
And then he gets knocked out. And then, so what's cool about her is her electricity ability is able to negate fire or any like fire ability except for Arthur's plasma.
Yep. I was gonna say, like, that's a natural match for him. When I was reading up on the recaps and everything, I was like, that's his fight right there. That's the one.
Dude, she gets so pissed when Shenro gets taken to the hospital.
It's Halmia. Halmia is her name. Yeah.
Yeah.
She wears a golden crown, which covers her eyes.
There you go.
Yeah.
In case anyone was wondering, Shenron makes it. He pulls through. All right, people, you don't have to be worried.
Yeah. And what the key part of that battle, even though Sho doesn't make it through, I mean, Sho doesn't go with Shinra, he starts doubting his faith or whatever. So,
yes.
Yeah. And so then he ends up wanting to leave the Evangelists and go look for his brother. But that happens in season two.
Correct.
Yeah. Let's go. We don't have a season two episode yet, but, you know, that's okay because it's still going on. It's fine. Yes, we'd like that.
Definitely watch season two, everyone, and then come back and listen to our 5-4 season two review after it's done.
We're going to do a comprehensive one because in looking for the reviews for this show, there actually aren't many Fire Force season one reviews, not comprehensive enough. So, you know what? We're going to have to do it. We got to do it to them. Boom. Mm-hmm.
Get them.
I can't wait.
Any final thoughts, Jamil?
No final thoughts. I actually, you know what? We didn't even touch on the animation. Like, that's my final thought. The animation for this show is actually really, really well done. Just like, you know, random cutscenes that they have, like you cut to things happening and or like an inferno being born or whatever, like just the little like cool touches that they do, it's really refreshing. Shows don't go this deep into animation. Like they do their story and that's about it. The whole, you know, like the random skulls and like, you know, the glowing eyes and things like that, those are little touches that just make it a little bit funner to watch. Like, sorry, Shinra was like a plain Jane kind of guy to me. Like, he wasn't the most exciting. His power gets more exciting. But the animation is what kept me watching it because I didn't want to watch it. And I was like, hey, you know what? This is actually really cool to see happen. So then the story hooked me. But that was my final thought. Like, you get to literally watch them fight fire and they're firefighters. And I'm like, oh, I get it. And you know, the cell shading animation, stuff like that. Do you have any final thoughts for this episode?
My final thoughts in this show is that I know Shinra may not be your type of hero, but for some odd reason, I resonate with Shinra. Like we're one together. I don't know. I don't have that crazy devilish smile, but other than that, I feel like power-wise, like, I'm probably legit about the same. If it was me, though, I'd have power. I could control the fire with my feet and my hands. Just saying, if it was me.
I really hope that they expand that a little bit. I'm sorry, feet is his thing, but, like, please, like, nah. Help it a little. Help it along.
Huh? I want to see him do more breakdance fights with his feet. He did it in one of the fight scenes, but that'd be sick. Just all the fire as he breakdances fights. Oh, yeah. Man.
He rockets his feet and he just goes crazy. It's awesome. Yeah. That is one of my favorite fight styles, but I do want to see a hero that actually fights with his hands. Like, as many times as we've seen that drop kick, it's getting a little old to me. Like, he don't even wear shoes half the time. I'm just saying, he can't wear shoes. He can't wear shoes. So I don't know. Fire Force, whimsical art design, fun story. Lucky Letcher lore, in case you're into a little bit of fan service.
Yep.
Fire Force is a good show. I will continue watching it. They come out with the third season. I will watch it again. Yeah, I'm down.
Yep, I recommend everyone else watch it too, and watch season two, and read the manga.
Yeah, and watch us, and like, and comment, and subscribe. Tell your friends. We cool. We up.
Yeah.
We down? Tell us in the comments. We up? All right. I like up. Up is good.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. This Ladies has been and Jamil. This has been Ty. Peace.
Annie out, everyone.
Annie out.